All right, let's go.
Everyone, this is Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. Dad, I just want to say you're in the news again.
Oh, that scam.
Yeah, well, yes, I guess it's called a scam. Now,
well, that's what Tim's
this
called.
Time you're promoting gummies, okay? Do you know what a gummy is?
No, I don't know what a gummy is.
Well, a gummy is like, you know, it's candy for the people that want to feel good, let's say, okay? And all. So,
all right, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, it's just amazing. Again, it's out there. You're promoting it. And it's on the internet, Tim, right?
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
It's on Facebook. You see it. So it's called Canna Leaf CBD Gummies. So it's got like marijuana properties.
Yeah.
Oh, it's what?
It's got like marijuana properties that you eat it and you feel good. But we were saying before, The work that goes into these things is unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you how good it is. I read it and I said, I wish I could get some of these gummies.
Not how good the gummies are, but how good the ad is.
Well, the ad, they had me convinced. It was fantastic.
But, Dad, they didn't do the research.
No, they didn't. No, they had, I give a bottle to Ovechkin. we kind of got along, you know. But, I give one to Crosby.
That's what I was reading. That, and I go, well, I know they didn't do their thing because they said, there was a quote, it said by Alexander Ovechkin, that Don Cherry gave me a bottle and I feel good instantly. So I thought, Dad might give it to Crosby.
I started to believe it.
I don't think he'd give it to Ovechkin.
But you're saying, Tim, that they go in cycles, right?
Yeah.
You see a pattern.
Yeah, they do. They'll do you, Dad, and then... You'll be for about 2 weeks. Maybe about 10 days. They have you on Facebook, and it's clickbait, right? And it says Don Cherry in hot water, or Don Cherry, the real reason he was fired. So you know, and then they'll do Kevin O'Leary, and they'll say Kevin O'Leary doubles his fortune, or Kevin O'Leary makes millions, and CBC is furious. And they'll do that for about 10 days, and it's clickbait. You go to one,
and beautiful pictures.
Yeah, and then they'll do, they've also done old Kevin O'Leary and Dr. Suzuki.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll do that Ron
McClane. Did I ever tell you the story about the time Dr. Suzuki got on the plane with me?
Oh, that, I don't think you have. That is, boy, if there was ever a time I wish that I could be a fly on the wall for that conversation.
We were flying first class. I hate to tell you, but we were flying first class. And he was sitting directly behind me. So I get on. I say, Dad, here's this guy. And he had a beard. He looked good. And I say, Ron. And Ron, you know, Ronnie. I said, look who's here. I said, that's the guy that's on, called a jerk. And you know.
A kook.
Left-wing kook.
Oh, yeah. What was that about? Let's see. He was talking about...
Climate control.
Oh, climate control, yeah.
No, climate change.
Climate change or something. And he was saying how warm it is in Vancouver, and we were freezing here in Toronto. I said, come here to Toronto, you kook. he was really a good guy, Dr. Suzuki.
Yeah, because then the next day on Coach's Corner, they started off with, he goes, hey, Don, this is... your favorite left-wing kook.
Yeah.
He played along with it.
Because it was an actual clip on Coach's Corner with him on it talking about climate change.
I forget. Anyhow, I said, you see who this is? So I'm kidding him back and forth, and he's kidding me back and forth. And I remember I have my 1983 Mark VI, and I just love it. And I said... Yeah, Ron, he's the guy, and Ron, he doesn't want anything to do with it, because, and I said, here's a guy that doesn't want me to drive my 1983 Mark VI, and he says, you can have it, but don't drive it. I mean, he was a pretty good guy. So how did we get Dr. Suzuki?
Well, because they do that. They do that scam.
Oh, yeah,
so,
he's all right.
So everybody, if you see that, don't fall for scams on Facebook.
I fell for it.
Yeah, because, and you did Bitcoin. They switch it. They do Bitcoin. They do gummy bears.
Weight loss.
Ron was on for what?
Ron's was for erectile dysfunction.
We'll say no more.
So, Dad, the NHL preseason's in full swing. In the Montreal and the Leafs played a couple of games, and there's some back and forth with inter-squad games. So have you watched the games, and what do you think?
One thing I got to say before, if I was Matthews, I'd keep my mouth shut. I mean, what is that? What the headlines in the paper, all or nothing? All means the Stanley Cup. Just get by the first round would be good. And, you know, I don't think he's that type of guy. I remember him. He was at Bobby Orr's golf tournament. He never said anything. And I think they bring it out of him, and he just says things. But
yeah, well, you watch, you haven't seen it yet, but I've watched it. I wasn't going to, but that Amazon Prime special with the Leafs called All or Nothing.
Where is that on?
It's on Amazon Prime. It's a streaming thing. So
what is that like? What is?
Well, you'll have to come over and watch it.
Yeah, so, okay.
You have to pay for it, Dad.
And it's surprisingly, it's really good. It really is good. And the funny thing is that in the I watched the first episode, and you've told the story many times when the Bruins were winning, you knew they weren't playing good, and it's exactly what Keith was going through. He went into Dubas' office, and he was just cursing and swearing, saying exactly the same thing that you were talking about. He was going through, and he goes, how do I change the team? We're winning. But I know we're not playing well.
I remember when we started the season, and I had the Lions playing together, and Park, also Hall of Famer and All-Star, was hurt. I remember the last shift that was in Halifax, he got hurt. And we never lost in 18 games. But I knew the last six games, it was going in off our feet, it was going off our bums, it was going on. I mean, we were playing terrible. Same as Sheldon Keefe, he knew it was not playoff hockey. And so I had a meeting. I'll never forget this meeting. I'm going to tell a story.
Yeah, I've told it before, but it's still a funny story.
I'm going to tell it. It's my favorite story. I look like a jerk, but it's good. So I'm having a meeting, and the guys, I'm not getting through at all. They haven't lost in 18 games. And they're picking their nails and looking, and, you know, like, what is this guy? What does he want? And So after it's all over, I go, and I remember Cheevers was taping a stick, his goal stick, and his back was to me, and I come up behind him, or kind of side of him, and I said, you know what, Jerry, I played with him in Rochester, I kind of knew him a little bit. I said, you know what, Jerry, nobody pays attention to you when you haven't lost in 18 games. He says, what? And I didn't catch on. And, you know, I thought he didn't hear. And I said, you know, Jerry, and I saw that I hate to say the shitty grin on his face, and he caught me.
Can I ask a question with you? There's a very dynamics there. You played with Jerry Cheevers, and you were his defenseman in Rochester. And
You know what he said? Can I jump in? Said
yeah.
You know what they asked him, what kind of a defenseman was Don Cherry? You know, he didn't want to say he was a good defenseman or anything. He just, and he thought for a minute. He says, well, he let me see the puck. That's the only thing he said about me.
Yeah, because that's pretty dynamic. You go from, you know, playing with him to now you're his coach. So you pretty well.
I think Chili Gilbert was the backup.
Yeah, but you pretty well let Jerry do whatever he wanted. You know, even in the playoffs. Did we ever tell those stories how you would let him do? Because he hated to practice, right?
Oh, he hated to practice.
Yeah.
And he hated guys shooting high. You shoot high on him in a practice, he'd chase you. The goal stick.
And wasn't it too that you used to let your goalies in practice sometimes not get suited up and just wear a tracksuit and let them play hockey?
I did. Jerry, we played a lot of games and I wanted Jerry to play. And I said, you don't have to put the pads on, just go and pass the puck. Well, you'd think I'd give him $1 million. I don't have to put the...
The funny thing is, he was a good skater.
Oh, good skater. I remember him beating me when I was in Rochester.
Really?
With the pads on.
Oh, that doesn't say much. Yeah, you did that with Lynn Zimmerman in Rochester too.
Yeah, they were all good skaters. To be a good goaltender, you have to be a good skater. And Chili Gilbert, the backup, was really mad, eh? Because I made him.
Yeah, Chili, put your pads on. Jerry, go for a skate.
Yeah, and
no wonder he didn't like you, Dad. I mean, can you blame him?
No, I don't blame him at all.
So,
but when it come down to the crunch, I thought of the team. The team, always think of the team. And the players know you're thinking of the team. First of all, I benched him after he lost two games in Montreal, and I put in Gilbert for many reasons. Now, I knew he was going for a contract. I knew he was French-Canadian playing in Montreal. He wanted to beat them, and he almost beat them. If I hadn't put on too many guys on the ice, I think the last game he played 52 games, Gilbert was a great goaltender. I mean, he really was. Anyhow, I'm getting rambling here. I remember stuff like that. But I remember that Gilbert was a great defenseman. And goaltender. Tim, tell how many games he's won in a row?
Yeah, he's still set to record. It boggles the mind. It's still a record. 17 consecutive wins. Now, not in a row, not right. 17 starts, but he 17 wins and 17 starts.
Yeah, he'd win just
and
to
they were tough start. And Cindy, let me tell you, they were tough starts.
No, I know. He would win just to spite you. You'd throw him in when, you know, you thought you were going to lose.
I don't think so. I think he just won because he wanted to win. Yeah. I think that's what I think anyhow.
So, Daddy, you were watching the game, and we talked about Joshua Hosong and all that. And the one thing you noticed him when he was playing?
He's playing it safe. I know I knew he could have blown by. What he's got to do, his big thing is skating. He could skate better than anybody on that club. And what he's doing is playing it safe. If he ever grabbed that puck and goes with it the way he can.
What would be the logic behind playing it safe?
Well, you don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to cough up the puck. Oh. You know, like the one thing, you and I were watching the game, and he had a step on one Montreal defenseman, and then he just stopped. And you're thinking,
he didn't stop. He slowed down. Yeah. He could have. And he didn't want to look bad.
Yeah, you said when one of your favorites, John Wensink, came in, that was a problem with him.
What happened is not comparing John Wensink, he couldn't skate. And the reason he couldn't skate, or he didn't want to skate, he didn't want to fall down. He didn't want to look stupid. And not Hosong really wants to look stupid. He's just playing it safe. And I told John Wensink, fall down. Turn, keep turning. And
look at how many times Terry O'Reilly fell. He didn't care.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, I was coaching the Rochester Americans, and we played against him. And he, without a doubt, was a joke. A joke. And I saw him playing for the Boston Braves. I think, Boston Braves.
Boston Braves, yeah. Yeah.
And it was a joke. He was falling down. He couldn't even skate. And I saw
remember what they gave him. Remember there was...
I was thinking that.
He didn't like that.
There was used to have it at a Christmas party, but they gave gag gifts.
They gave him
double runner skates and then a hockey pants with double runner blade on the bum.
And he did not like it. He was.
I think after that party, that was the end. You said no more gifts.
Well, they probably but don't invite me.
No, you said no more gag gifts.
No more. Yeah.
Because Jerry, he was really mad.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember that party? I think I mentioned it before. Remember what they gave you?
Yeah,
the little Yorkie puppy.
Yeah, that was my first year.
That was the first year. Yeah.
Yeah, I give a little Yorkie puppy.
Yorkie puppy, and you had to bring it home because it was a party, and
I wanted
to keep it.
Say I didn't want it.
Yeah, right. And then
what did we do?
You brought it home. Of course, I wanted to keep it, but we had Blue. Blue didn't like other dogs. Do you remember who you gave it to?
No, Hodge. Dave. Ken Hodge.
That's right. You gave.
Yeah, I guess. Anyhow, how did we get into that?
Well, we're just talking about guys not falling down.
John Wensink, when he started, you know, I said, don't be stupid. Go and fall down. Get up. That's the only way you're going to improve.
Yeah. Well, when we've gone out scouting, and it's usually taller kids.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned that a few times to me. You say, you see that kid there? Yeah. You said, he doesn't want to fall down. You can tell that. He doesn't quite turn as hard or whatever, and you said he doesn't want to look bad. And
I remember one time with John Wensink, and the Richmond Robins, to save money, they turn off the lights. Well, they don't turn them off. They turn most of the lights off. So John and I wanted to go in front of the net, and I wanted to
say this was in Rochester.
Yeah, in Rochester, New York. And I said, no, look, you stand in front of the net, and I'll be the defenseman. And you know how one guy hits one guy and another guy hits another guy, and we started to get mad at each other, and we were fighting in front of the net. cross-checking, hitting, and pissed, and it was unbelievable.
I remember he knocked your hat off.
Yeah, and fell down and get up and here and I'm pushing him, and Richmond Robbins, we're standing. Oh, holy, this is what they do in practice, and they didn't have a chance. And but it was John Wensick, he turned into 25 goal scorer. Of course, he had 21 at Christmas time, and then he thought he was John's probably listening to the podcast. And he had 21. I think he had, I forget what he was.
He was leading the league at one time.
Yeah.
He was, he had the.
Then he started thinking he was Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, and that's when, that was a hard time for him because you really liked him. And we had him in Rochester and you had him in, and then you benched him.
Well, that's why they got you the dog. That's why they got you the Yorkie. They called him John because you kept talking about John Wensink. And they named it, they gave the Yorkie and it had a little sign that said John Wensink on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They named it John and all.
I'd like to bring in something that's coming into the league now. Like a few years ago, it was hit from behind. This year, it's a cross check. And a lot of people watching the exhibition game. And, you know, you think that the coach goes out and says, now, look, if you feel a stick in the back, fall down. You don't say that. The players will pick it up right away. And now, I don't know about regular season. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But if you feel a stick in the back, let on your, you know, you cross check, and the referees will bite at it. Now, whether they're just doing this in the exhibition games, I don't know. But watch the guys being cross check and watch them take the dive, boy, it's terrific.
Yeah, you know what? It's almost, I gotta say, Dad, it better they better get control of those referees because
it's not the referee.
It's almost unwatchable sometimes.
It's not the referees. They're told what to do, and if they want to keep their jobs, and I should know that.
Yeah.
And if they want to keep their jobs, they got to call it.
I just don't understand, you know, and nobody cares what I think, but I just don't understand how the people in the NHL think that fans like that, like penalty after penalty after penalty.
It's just
like you watch the Ottawa Leaf game. It was almost unwatchable. There were so many penalties. Like you could flick around. Like it's like almost like baseball now that you can kind of flick around and oh another power play. Oh, another power play. Just hopefully they'll still smarten up.
Well, I think maybe they're just doing it in the exhibition games. Let's hope so.
Yep.
Okay, Tim, tell us about Spread.
Okay, we'd just like to thank our sponsor, spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit. So up to $250. And
holy smokes, that's pretty. Now, think about that. That's pretty good.
10 spins on the big wheel to win some big dough, and your first sports bet, they'll match you at $25. So, like, it's sports bet haven right now because you got baseball, you got football, you got hockey's coming on. Basketball.
Boy, we're doing this here on a Sunday morning, boy. It's really something. The afternoon.
The Jays. So let me ask you, Dad. We're going to do some more hockey, but we'll talk. So the Yankees have to win. It's like game 7. They got to win. If they lose, they could be out.
Yeah.
Red Sox have to win. If they lose, they could be out of the wild card. The Jays absolutely have to win. If they lose, they're out. And Seattle has to win. So it's like 4 game 7s.
And who's on? And you know what gets me when I pick up the paper today, Sunday morning? Is Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews.
The whole, the Leafs.
Front page.
The whole page.
But
that's why I'm saying he should keep his mouth shut. And you know, he didn't, if you read the write-up, he all or nothing. It was sort of like in the whole deal.
Yeah.
But he's being quoted, and boy, I tell you, boy, he doesn't understand.
So you've coached game 7 of Montreal to get into the finals, and what you would have won. So, What does the manager go in and say to those guys today?
Well, if it's seventh game, you don't say anything. I mean, if they don't realize the importance of the seventh game.
So it's not like the movie where the coach gives him a big rah-rah speech?
Yeah. You know, funny you say that. The first time I had somebody give, I tried to give a speech, you know, as best I could, of the prospect game, and all the players clapped. And I thought, gee, that's pretty good. And then I watched the thing. They clap all the time. And at the end of every speech, the players, they clap.
Is that normal?
Yeah, everybody.
They do it now. Yeah, but you know, really? Just, I know we're getting
I thought it was pretty good, though. I thought he'd give a real good speech. You're right. Everybody.
So, like, I remember, like, in the Game 7, I was there. Like, you didn't say too much. You didn't almost say anything.
I don't remember. I don't.
I don't think you said too much. I mean, what are you going to, like, you know, the guys kind of know. It wouldn't be Captain Obvious. We got to win tonight, guys. Let's go.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I
will tell you something, though, Tim.
Yeah.
We were down 2-0 in Montreal. And I must have been out of my mind. I went in and I said, I will tell you, we will be back here for the 7th game, and then you're on your own. I said, but we will be back here for the 7th game. So we're flying back. We chartered. And, you know, I must have been nuts in those days. And I said to the stewardess, I said, do you have champagne? And she's, yeah, we've got the bottles. I said, do you have those little glasses? You know, like the
champagne glasses.
Yeah, in plastic. She's, yeah. I said, give everybody a glass. Give me the bottle of champagne. I said, we're drinking this to this. I mean,
This is when you were down 2-0.
We're down 2-0. We're flying back to Boston. And I asked the stewardess, do you have any champagne? And I mean, I must have been
that
nuts.
Really
in
is
and
something.
I knew, I say, we'll be back for the 7th game. Come on. Here's a toast to the 7th game. And, you know, they're up front. And they think.
All the brass is up front.
Yeah, they're all the brass is up front in first class. And they must have thought I was nuts.
Man.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe I was.
I remember, though, Dad. You're like, you go to a lot of movies and you're pretty much a movie aficionado. And I said, what was the best scene of a coach getting a player psyched up for a game?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, remember what you said? It was Birdman, that movie Birdman with Michael Keaton, when he was walking, like when he was walking the next day and the Birdman was telling him, like his alter ego was telling him, let's go back to LA.
I don't understand it, but I remember that now that you said that. And that was a coach. He was, I can't say, screw them all.
Yeah.
I can't, and he talked just like a coach talked before the game.
So the funny thing is, of all the sports movies, the best coach speech was that movie, Birdman.
Yeah, I don't know. I never did understand that movie, but.
But you like that part.
Well, that was a great
part. You know
what
part? You know what movie I thought your dad was going to say? Mm. The part in Slapshot when Paul Newman's team was losing and that crazy GM comes in and says, we're losing. Do you know how many GMs and scouts are out there? And they all perked up scouts.
NHL.
I thought that was.
I'll tell you a story. I know we're getting off the subject here. I saw like the morning skate and Scotty called everybody in a corner and give them, you know, and I thought, well, I better do the same thing. And so I called everybody in the corner, like, you know, and I said, I want you guys to know there'll be NHL scouts out there. And they all started to laugh.
They knew what you were
saying.
Well,
I know what I was doing. And, and Harry said, yeah, everything's a joke to you.
Yeah.
So, Dad, we were talking about exhibition games before, and boy, you and how non-hitting in the penalties, but the Bruins and the Flyers used to have rookie games, and it was like a tongue war.
And I remember we were, I don't know, were we in New Hampshire or something like that, and Bobby Clark was up above watching, and we were watching, and Al Secord, and that was his rookie year, and you never saw so many fights in your life, and I would just.
Well, didn't you say like you would and Clark almost went at it?
Yeah,
and Harry and Sinden.
Yeah,
was almost
we were standing up above looking at the game. We almost, I mean, we were almost in a fist fight up above. I mean, but Harry was going nuts. I was going nuts. But Secord, I'd like to talk about Secord.
Al Secord
is unbelievable, and nobody knows about him. And he's a captain now. What is he, captain now in a?
Last I looked, he was on, I believe it's United Airlines. He's a pilot.
In that game, rookie game, he had three fights. In two seasons, now he did play with some pretty good guys. Dennis Tavares.
So he played in Boston for a while, then he got traded to Chicago.
Yeah, and he played with Dennis Tavares and Steve Larmer. Now, Larmer, I mean, they were pretty good. That was pretty good guys to play with, I'll tell you that. You had, if you looked at, and I'm reading this here right now, in 1981, he had 44 goals, 303 penalty minutes, 44 goals. I wonder if he had time. And get this, he had 23 majors. How in the world did he have it?
When did he have time?
I mean, you get 44 goals.
And 23, so that's like, what? That's like 100 minutes in the penalty box. So that's like five games or something.
Yeah. And in 1982, he had 54 goals. 54. 54 goals. Can you imagine what he'd be making today? He wouldn't be flying a plane, I'll tell you that. I think he loved
flying. He'd own a plane.
Yeah, he'd own a plane. And 54 goals, 108 minutes, penalty minutes. And 13 majors. 13 majors. I mean.
So in those 2 years, think about it. He had 98 goals.
Yeah.
411 minutes in penalties and 36 majors in 2 years.
And nobody talks about him. I mean, that was unbelievable.
And, you know, he is a trivia contest. He is the last player to score 50 goals that didn't wear a helmet.
Oh, is that right?
I didn't know that until you told me.
We told that before, but I think if we're talking about Secor, we should tell that story why he didn't wear a helmet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. I remember he wore a helmet. Look, a pea in a pumpkin.
He was a great such big a head.
He liked
guy.
Terry O'Reilly. He had an enormous head, and he looked funny. So I said to him, boy, but I must have been nuts. I said, you take your helmet off in Toronto. I will play you on the power play, every power play.
And didn't you say you'd start him?
No, automatic start him. You thought his name would be mentioned.
He's on Hockey Night in Canada.
So we're doing, he's doing not bad, you know, and everything. And all of a sudden, he goes into a corner. I can see it now. He gets into a fight with a guy that could really throw him, was Dave Hutchison. Remember big Dave Hutchison?
Yep.
Yeah.
Big guy. He was about 6 foot three.
Yeah, he was bigger than Al.
Oh, yeah.
And Al was big.
Yeah, and Hutchison. I said, boys, get ready, because I know his mother and dad were there at the game. And if, you know, and I, if he
gets hurt,
helmet, I'm done.
That's right.
And because I was the guy that talked him into not
wearing. Especially by his mother.
Well, I don't know. I was...
You said you were ready to send the guys over.
I said, guys, get ready. I said, because if he gets caught, if he catches one, we're going on there. And all of a sudden he hit Dave with a left, and he was a left-hander too, which was tough. He hits him with a beautiful, I said, okay, boys, relax. Al Secord was one of the, I don't know if he would never have been traded if I had been there. Al Secord was one of the greatest guys I ever met. And I guess so, with 23 majors, he fell right in with the Boston Bruins.